I hid in some weeds and watched what happened next. I mean, Sally Mae had injured herself, right? Even though my conscience was clear on the matter, even though she had accused me of crimes I didn't commit, I was still concerned about her. And besides that, a guy never knows when someone is gonna pull out some food and leave scraps lying around. Part of my job as head of ranch security is keeping the place clean. I'm kind of a fanatic about cleanliness. Nothing trashes up a place quite as badly as trash. And if that happens to include, scraps of bread, bologna rings, chicken bones, pieces of hot dog, just about any of the food groups, except vegetables and things that taste or smell like bacon, then so much the better. There's nothing wrong or selfish about combining a zeal for cleanliness with an interest in food. Without food, where would we be in this old life? We'd all be going around looking for something to eat, which brings us back to my original concern. Sally Mae had injured her ankle, and I was worried about her. Also hungry. I'd lost my breakfast, right? You can't expect a dog to operate on fresh air and sunshine. I don't want to beat the point to death, but... Okay. Sally Mae dried her tears and hobbled around on her bum leg while Grandma went into the yard, scooped up little Alfred, and hauled him into the house for a session in the bathtub. When they came back outside, Alfred had shed most of his mud and was wearing civilized clothes again. Grandma shook her finger in the boy's face and told him to stay the heck out of the mud. Then she went over and looked at Sally Mae's ankle. She poked and squeezed, squinted her eyes and pooched out her lips, and finally said, "Hun, I think we'd better take you to town and let the doctor look at this." Sally Mae let out a groan. "Oh, why did it have to happen on the day before Thanksgiving? If I ever see that dog again..." She turned around and looked in my direction. I concentrated extra hard on blending into the environment, so to speak, and was prepared to run if she reached for a rock or a gun. I didn't mind taking the blame for crimes I didn't commit, but my idea of being a nice guy stopped short of getting murdered for it. Sally Mae limped inside and changed her clothes while Grandma herded all the kids into the car. Then Sally Mae came out again, using a mop for a crutch. Her eyes had a certain pinched quality about them when she looked off to the south, and I had a suspicion that she hadn't entirely given up the idea of strangling, well, me, you might say.
"This is so embarrassing."
She scooted into the car seat, and I didn't hear the rest because she slammed the door. I scrunched down in the weeds and didn't move a hair until they were gone and I heard the car rumble over the cattle guard. Then I stood up and took a deep breath. I guess I shouldn't let little things bother me, but it kind of hurt me to see Sally Mae taking out all her sorrows and frustrations on me. I know that's part of my job, but sometimes it's hard to take, especially when those girls hadn't left a single food scrap on the ground. I know because I went over the whole area 3 times, not even a crumb. Sure was hungry. Sure could have used a crumb or a pound of hamburger. Pete the Plow was sitting in the sun, licking his coat and trying to recover some of his dignity. Just for laughs, I hollered at him, asked him how he'd enjoyed babysitting with Sally Mae's little monster. He didn't answer, which was fine because I had better things to do than listen to a half-drowned cat. I went down to the gas tanks and found Drover standing with his nose pressed against the northeast angle-iron leg of the gas tanks. He was mumbling something. "All right, son, it's examination time. I presume you've been studying your lessons?"
"Sure have, Hank, and I'm bored."
"Don't worry about it. Anybody who'd spent the last half hour with you would have been bored, too."
"So it's not just me?"
"Not at all. It's a perfectly natural reaction. But let me remind you, Drover, that this was punishment. I didn't send you down here to be frivolous."
"What does frivolous mean?"
"The word is frivolous, and it means silly, unbusinesslike, unprofessional, greedy, self-centered, disrespectful, discourteous, disobedient, irreverent, and basically stupid."
"Gosh, that's quite a word."
Indeed it is, and it wouldn't hurt you to remember it.
Yeah, and then I wouldn't forget it.
Exactly. I think you'll find, Drover, that a few fancy words sprinkled here and there into your sentences would help break the monogamy of your conversation.
Gosh, what happens when you break your mahogany?
You either fix it or it stays broke.
Don't they paint mahogany sometimes?
Sometimes they do, but plywood is much cheaper. How did we get on the subject of plywood?
I don't know. We were talking about big words.
Yes, that's true. Plywood is a big word, Drover, and you should try to sprinkle it into your conversation more often. Who knows, you might fool someone.
Okay. You seen any plywood this morning?
Why do you ask?
Just trying to fool you.
Drover, if you really and truly want to fool Hank the cowdog, you should bring camping gear, because it could take you weeks or even months. Now, where were we?
Plywood.
Exactly. Plywood. I seem to have lost my train of thought.
Can I take my nose out of the corner now?
Negative. Unless you can pass a very thorough and difficult examination, and I have my doubts about that.
Oh, gosh. I've got a crick in my neck from holding my nose in the corner.
I'm sorry to hear that, Drover, but I hope you understand that crickets have no bearing on this case. It doesn't matter how many crickets you've seen or think you've seen. No amount of crickets can excuse your behavior.
Hank, I've been down here so long I don't even remember what I did.
You stole my scrambled eggs and left me with nothing to eat but two pieces of burnt toast and half a gallon of poison bacon grease.
Really?
Yes. And I, being a kind and trusting soul, ate them and came within inches of dying a horrible death, all because of your greedy and selfish behavior. I hope you're ashamed of yourself.
I hope so, too, because I sure want to get out of here.
Are you ready to take your examination?
Oh, I guess. If you promise not to make it too hard.
I'm not in a position to promise anything, Drover, except that you will get a fair trial.
Does that mean we can't cheat?
That's exactly what it means. Cheaters never win, Drover, and chinners never weep. Are you ready for the first question?
I guess so.
All right. Here is the first question, which is also the only question. Should you fail to answer the question, you will be confined to your room for the rest of your life. In other words, don't choke under the pressure. Ready? Here we go. All right, Drover. What was it that I told you to repeat 500 times?
It was a sentence. One sentence.
That's correct. Now repeat that alleged sentence word for word.
Can you give me a hint?
No, I'm not allowed to give any help whatsoever.
I'll bet you forgot too.
Don't be absurd.
Was it something about zebras?
No, chickens.
Oh yeah, I remember now. Here we go. Don't count your chickens before they cross the road.
Incorrect. I'll give you one last chance.
Oh, darn. Okay, I've got it now. A chicken in the pot is worth three birds in the bush.
No. One last chance. He rolled his eyes and twisted his face around.
Okay, let's try this one. If you eat scrambled eggs for breakfast, the chickens will come home to roost.
That's close, Drover, but I'm afraid... All at once, he started jumping up and down and whirling around in circles.
Oh, Hank, I got it now. I got it.
Get your nose back in the corner. You haven't passed the test yet. He did as he was told. All right, settle down, relax, get control of yourself. For the absolute last time, what is the answer?
The answer is only a chicken would lay an egg on the head of a friend. That's it, Hank, I got it.
I ran that answer through my data banks. It checked out. Congratulations, Drover. You've passed the examination, and now you're a free dog.
Oh, boy, that was tough.
Yes, but I don't need to remind you that when the going gets tough... Suddenly, I heard a whinny. Did you just whinny?
When?
No, whinny.
Whinny?
Just now. I could have sworn that I heard a... There it was again. Yes, I did hear a whinny. Drover rolled his eyes around.
I didn't know weenies could talk.
Not a weenie, you dunce. A whinny, the sound a horse makes.
Oh, no, it wasn't me.
I know that, Drover.
Then how come you asked?
Because, never mind. The point is that my very sensitive ears have picked up the sound of a horse in the home pasture.
I didn't think there were any horses in the home pasture.
Exactly my point. I pushed myself up on all fours. And that means, Drover, that we have a new case to investigate. The case of the mysterious whinny in the home pasture. Come on, we'd better check this thing out. And with that, we went dashing away from the comfort and security of the gas tanks on a course that would take us into a new adventure and no small amount of danger.